Here's Gene Steinberg.
Yes, there he is. Marble Mouth, Chris O'Brien himself. And I don't know where he got that voice from.
I just imagine myself with a mouthful of quickly drying latex.
Okay, that's Latex Mouth O'Brien. And I don't know what I am, but we have Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and we know what she has to say. Chris, she wanted to bring up another topic.
Yeah, this whole idea of precognitive dreams, I think the literature contains some pretty amazing examples of things that were, dreamed about, and then they came true. Do we have some good examples that might take some of our skeptics and set them back a little bit? I know there are some, and I'm sure you've dug some up.
There are quite a few exemplary dreams of forecasting death that have been documented since ancient times. Abraham Lincoln is probably the most famous one, where he has the dream that someone has died in the White House, and he hears people crying, and then, you know, he finds out that he's the one laid out in the coffin. But one of the more remarkable ones in terms of detail that really struck me occurred in 1914. And it had to do with some of the events that triggered off World War One. History buffs remember that the Archduke Ferdinand and his wife were assassinated as they rode in a motorcade, and that this was one of the events that led to the war. It wasn't the entire cause, because tensions were quite bad by then. But on the eve of their assassination, a man who knew them by the name of Bishop Joseph Lanyi had this lucid dream that he knew meant their death, their impending death, and there wasn't anything he could do about it. And in the dream, he goes to his desk, and he looks through some letters, and he finds one bearing the seal of the Archduke. And he opens it up. It's in the Archduke's handwriting. The whole letter is bordered in black. And a postcard falls out, and it's a postcard of the Archduke and his wife in this motorcade. And then this scene comes to life. It's like he's watching a movie, not just looking at a postcard. He sees two young men leap out from the crowd and shoot them to death. The letter is addressed personally to him, and at the end it says from the Archduke, "I herewith inform you that today my wife and I will fall victims to an assassination. We commend ourselves to your pious prayers." So he wakes up in the middle of the night in tears, and he just knows that this event is going to happen, and he can't do anything about it. And sure enough, it does. The only difference between his dream and the real event is that there was one assassin, not two.
Yeah. Wow.
Let me ask you, Rosemary, how consistent is it for people to dream of their own death or the death of someone close to them?
It's more common to dream of the death of someone close. Very rare to dream of your own death.
Or at least you don't want to admit it.
It probably would be so psychically shocking that it would be hard to come to terms with. I mean, we all know we're going to die. But I've met very few people that really want to know exactly how and when they're going to die. And if they say they want to know that, and someone gives that information, they can go into states near nervous breakdown as that date approaches.
But isn't it also true that someone who is given that death sentence because they have a terminal illness and the doctor says, listen, you've got 2 weeks left, you got 6 months, you got a year, that's pretty much getting an end date.
Well, it is, and then it sometimes becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and there's been, discussion and debate in the medical community about giving people a prognosis like that, because they then expect to die, and then do they actually seal their own fate, more or less? Do they close themselves off from the possibility of some kind of a miraculous healing, for example?
And a fatalistic placebo.
Sure, but wouldn't you want, if you were a doctor, to tell your patient, look, all things being equal, this is not going to prolong your life. There are risks. You have to take steps for end-of-life preparation, even though we'll do the best we can to prolong your life if that's what you want.
I do agree with you, Gene, and if I were in that situation, I would want to know realistically what time I had left, too, so that I could put all of my affairs in order. It's one of those double-edged swords that, you know, you wind up having no real good answer for. But we have also many cases of people who seem to have delayed their death, chosen their time of death in order to get past meaningful anniversaries or dates concerning the living, or until a family member is can be present at the passing. We have those situations, too.
Let me ask you something, because you raised a question here. As I mentioned earlier, my father died in 1988 on my birthday. Now, just to give you a preface to this, the night before he called me, and he seemed to have more of a desire to talk to me on the phone than usual. Usually our conversations on the phone were very brief. He didn't come across as the kind of guy who liked to talk on the phone very much. But later on, I took it as him trying to wrap up his discussions with me, knowing that his time was very short. What do you think?
I think that that does happen. And this is also documented in the dream literature. People usually don't realize it until hindsight. You know, nobody thinks when they get a phone call from someone that's emotionally energized that it means somebody's going to die soon. But we see in retrospect, you know, it makes sense in retrospect.
I've got one.
I think that many of these people really don't know it consciously that they're about to pass over, but there's some sort of subconscious prompting that encourages them or prompts them to do these things that sort of, you know, wrap things up with the living and putting the affairs in order. I just had a case recently with a young woman I knew whose husband died unexpectedly and suddenly in his sleep. He was only 30 years old. And yet in about a week or two before he died, he was suddenly very anxious to put his affairs in order. Well, how many 30-year-olds think about wills and estates and leaving things for the kids and whatnot? But he didn't say anything about thinking that he was going to die. He just had this urge to put all of his affairs in order. So something was going on from perhaps the perspective of the higher self there.
Do you think then that people in general, or in some cases, no, their time is short, even if they can't verbalize it?
I do think that many people have a sense on some level of consciousness. After 9/11, in fact, years after 9/11, one of the surviving wives, and I quote some of her stories in my book, Bonnie McInerney, collected some experiences of other families, survivor families, and they talked about things like a spouse or a father making comments that indicated that he didn't think he was going to be around very long, or he wasn't going to be present, or that he was going to that his life was going to end fairly soon. I won't be around. I'll never make it to age, whatever. Some of the remarks were rather chilling, like a husband and wife who went on their usual summer vacation. And when the wife talked about what we're going to do next summer in that context, the husband said, oh, I won't be around next summer. Just like that, just matter-of-factly, and it unsettled her greatly, and she didn't quite know how to answer that. And then, sure enough, you know, he was not around the following summer. He was killed in the terrorist attack. There are also cases of some of those people who were killed making return visits, too, very dramatic return visits to the living, usually to just say goodbye, don't grieve for me, I'm fine. It was my time to go. In some cases, there were settlings of estates, you know, where missing papers and things like that.
So these returning souls actually told them where to look for things?
Yes, there have been actually some very unusual cases on record, even going back to the days of Dante, who wrote, you know, the Divine Comedy, Inferno, and Paradiso, right, and Purgatorio.
Rosemary, let's do that after the break. Describe that in more detail. Rosemary Ellen Guiley is with us. Chris O'Brien has taken the marbles out of his mouth. He's not using helium this time. You're in
the afterlife.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237. Extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
I knew he'd do it. Okay. Book is Dream Messages from the Afterlife from Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And you were talking about some case histories here. You want to get back to it?
The unfinished business cases. There are some really unusual ones on record. And Dante died in 1321, and much to the consternation of his family, the final pages of his masterpiece, Divine Comedy, were missing, and nobody could find them. So it was like an incomplete masterpiece. They searched and searched. And then finally, his son had a dream, one of these realistic dreams in which his father came to him and told him where the hiding place was. Nobody knew. And for reasons, you know, that were never really explained from the standpoint of history, these missing pages had been hidden behind a mat that was hanging in a wall in a house where he used to live. Now, why they were there, who knows? But the family was able to retrieve them and then complete the masterpiece. There's a case in parapsychology and the psychical research literature that scientists tried to figure out what was going on, and that was a missing will. It was called the Chaffin Will case, and it happened in the 1920s. Farmer died. He had a will that distributed all of his property to his four sons. Then he changed his mind, rewrote the will, left it all to one son, didn't even leave anything to his wife, and died. And so all the estate went to the one son, and nobody contested the will. Several years later, one of the other sons started having these dream visits from his father, where his father was very agitated in the dream, coming to his bedside and in a very agitated state, telling his son that he had to get the will. Because apparently, he had changed his mind about the distribution again and had written a new will, sewn it up in the inside coat of a pocket, and didn't tell anybody. Now, it turned out that, and nobody knew about the existence of this will. So it turned out that they still had the coat. They found the will. They took it to court. The widow of the son who got all the estate contested it. She lost. The remaining estate was redistributed. And parapsychologists studied this case, trying to figure out, did the son who didn't get anything, did he discover the will and then concoct this story? Was this clairvoyance? Was it a real dream visit? They came up with no conclusion, that there were four possible scenarios that could explain this event, none of which could be proved. And so we were left with this evidence in support of his testimony that he had had genuine dream visits from his father. Why did this go on? You know, why did 4 years elapse? That's a very unusual amount of time, but that's one of the strangest cases on record.
Wow. Well, getting back to the whole subject of people having a sense of when they're going to pass over, let me relate a personal story. I was reunited with my birth mother after 41 years in 2001, and was able to spend a fairly good amount of quality time with her before she died in late 2003. Well, the day she died, it was on Christmas Day, of course, and I was having a small get-together at my house, and the phone rang. It was her. She had been in the hospital for 2 weeks after, myself and my three brothers had gone out, and for the first time, all five of us were together in the same room, which was quite something. We spent 4 days together. The day we left, she went into the hospital, and where she subsequently died. But on the day she died, I got a phone call, and it was her, and she said she just was calling to wish me, happy. I was going to call her later on, but she beat me to the punch, and she said she just wanted to wish me a Merry Christmas, and that her life was now vindicated. She had lost her sons, but now she found them, and she felt like her life was complete, and she just wanted to tell me that she loved me, and she hung up the phone. And minutes later, I got a call from the nurse saying, when your mom, I was in the room, and when your mom hung up the phone, she laid down and died. And, there was a do not resuscitate thing in place. So it took her a few minutes before she called me. But the nurse said she was amazed because she stood there and watched this happen. So I have a feeling she knew she was going to die, and she just held out long enough to make that phone call, which it kind of warmed my heart, I must say. But I wish she died on Halloween and not Christmas.
That is a beautiful experience, though, Chris. And there are cases on a record of the terminally ill who are in the final stages of life. You know, they're going through the dying process. They have these bursts of energy where sometimes the people who are present around them think that there's going to be a miraculous recovery. And then within minutes after that, they're gone. If they've been in comas, they suddenly wake up, sit up, say things. They look refreshed and rejuvenated. And then boom, they're gone. So it doesn't happen in all cases, but it has been documented by the medical and also the parapsychology people who study deathbed visions.
Let me ask you a question that occurs to me here. Do we find a greater percentage of deaths around family events, holidays, things like that?
Yeah, usually, if anything, people will, if they seem to be able to have a choice in the matter, they will hold off dying on important days and dates like that. They will wait for those to pass, and also for holidays as well. And we find these cases usually with people who have had terminal illness. You know, they've had a long process of dying. And it's as though they don't want to upset the living by going at certain times, but then others don't seem to have those options. You know, like Chris's birth mom, you know, passing on Christmas Day, which, you know, for most people is an emotionally difficult experience than to have to relive every time the holiday comes around.
You wonder, why do they do that?
Well, there are some questions that we don't have any good answers to. I think if all of us could choose the optimum circumstances of our passing, we would all have peaceful deaths, and they would never be at a time that would be they would, or let's put it this way, they would be at a time that would be have a minimal emotional impact on loved ones. Not that someone's passing is ever minimal, but we would try and minimize the shock as much as possible.
Well, you certainly wouldn't want them to have a long illness. As I mentioned, my father was quite healthy till the end of his days, and he was playing cards with his friends, and he died of a heart attack, but it was quick. My brother died in his sleep. So again, there was no history of a painful end. I do not recall anything about him having some kind of serious illness. It just happened. I think if you're going to go, you might as well just go, not have to endure the pain recovering from cancer surgery or something. We have Rosemary Ellen Guiley. The book is Dream Messages from the Afterlife with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Rosemary Ellen Guiley, the book Dream Messages from the Afterlife. Rosemary, did any specific instance or incident in your life help inspire you to write this book?
I've had an interest in the spiritual dimensions of dreams since I was young, Jean. My mom had a lot of precognitive dreams, and I never had the type of dreams that she had in that regard. There were other ways that psychic things manifested for me, but I became fascinated as an adolescent by her precognition in dreams, and they were usually disturbing dreams about people dying, either people in the news or acquaintances, things like that. And they were very distressing to her, as they would be to anyone who would have these sorts of experiences. But for me, as an adolescent, it was amazing to me that dreams could look into the future. And so I started reading up about dreams and psychic faculties, telepathy, things like that. And I started experimenting with my dreams. I experimented doing astral traveling in dreams, sending people messages, getting messages, and all with enough success to convince me that there was really something very powerful about dreams that connected us to something greater than our reality. My father died quite suddenly when I was in my early 30s, and I did have a dream visit from him. And that was very significant to me in exploring this particular dimension of dreaming. I mentioned that the dream people come for unfinished business, and sometimes we also help the dead make their transition too. And not everyone is comfortable going when they're going. Well, my dad was a very active man. He was retired. He was in his 70s when he died, but he was retired, had a lot of hobbies and a lot of activities, and he had an aneurysm. Well, the first aneurysm didn't get him, but he had another aneurysm that 18 months later did, and he died on the operating table, 3,000 miles away in Seattle, and I was out in New York. So, of course, I had the shock. I had, no closure. You know, I wasn't present. So I had a lot of emotional things to deal with, and I was very close with him. There were some unusual aspects to this dream. Well, 2 weeks after he died, I had a dream visit from him in which the two of us were in my parents' house in the living room, sitting opposite each other in chairs. And the dream had these unusual characteristics that I described earlier of an electrical atmosphere, lucidity, the tactile sensations and whatnot. And I'm looking at Dad, and I know he's dead, and I know that Dad knows he's dead, and Dad knows that I know he's dead. And I said to him, Dad, what are you doing here? You can't be here. You're dead. You know, he's not happy because all this unfinished business, you know, all the things that he still wanted to get done. And, well, nobody ever dies with their calendar completely closed, you know. So in the dream, we have this long conversation about why he can't stay. At the end of the dream, I see him going off into what looks like a big building, and I know it's in the afterlife. And I know that Dad he's decided to go. He's not going to hang around. And I felt after this dream that I had helped my dad come to terms and make his transition. It was as real to me as meeting somebody here in waking life. Well, the clincher for me was that months later, and I never mentioned this dream to my mother, months later, I was talking to my mom, and she said that for 2 weeks after Dad had died, she could feel him in the house. She knew he was there. And she knew exactly where he was sitting. He liked to sit in his favorite chair. She would come in and feel. She couldn't see him, but she could feel she described it as like an electrical presence in the house. And she was wondering why he was still hanging around. And that presence went away after I had that dream. And she said, you know, 2 weeks after, you know, I checked the, you know, approximate date with her because I'd written it down in my dream diary. At the time I had my dream, his presence ceased to be in the house. And she did not know I had that dream.
Rosemary, let's go back to your mom and her dreams of precognition. Were they always about well-known people?
No. In fact, most of the dreams were about people within the circle of her personal life. She did have a dream about President John F. Kennedy. And she did not have a dream about any of the details of his assassination or a date or anything like that. But her precognitive dreams would usually happen within 2 to 3 weeks of someone's passing. And sometimes she would know who it was going to be, but not when. Sometimes she would just know that it was going to be someone, a certain family member, like a certain relative or within their family. And in the President Kennedy's case, the dream she had was that she was participating in the funeral cortege, not walking down the street, but she was a spectator watching it go down the street. And she knew that the president was dead. People who have precognitive dreams like that usually have some sort of hallmarks to them that they know that that's a precognitive dream and not a symbolic dream. And for my mother, the two distinguishing factors were, other than the intensity of the dream and the lucidity of it, a nauseated feeling in her stomach that she could feel in the dream and would still be present when she awakened, and also the presence of her own dead mother. And her dead mother was with her while she was watching this cortege go down the street. And when news broke about President Kennedy being assassinated, I mean, she was shocked, of course, but she had already had this certainty that something was going to happen to him soon and that he was going to die. She didn't know how. When she saw the funeral procession on the street, it was exactly like the scene out of her dream. Most of the time, as I mentioned, they were family members. There was another case where she was worried that my dad was going to die. He had a heart condition, and she had one of these dreams. His name was Don. She had a dream that she got news that Don died of a heart attack. Now, my dad traveled a lot in business, so he could be away for weeks, even months at a time. And he was away when she had this dream, and she was very concerned that she was going to get word that Dad passed away. Well, the husband of a friend of ours, whose name was Don, died within 2 weeks of that dream, and he died of a heart attack. So sometimes these precognitive dreams are not entirely, we don't get the whole picture. I hear a lot of that, and I see a lot of that in the literature, that people know something's going to happen, but they don't have quite all the information, and it's very distressing.
Right, or they get the name right, but the person wrong, as you just described. Well, now, you mentioned the assassination of JFK, and this brings us to the whole fairly famous subject of Gene Dixon allegedly predicting to, I guess, confidants that she had this precognitive sense that Kennedy was going to die. How about other mediums? There's this, what's her name, the Long Island medium, Teresa, I think, Caputo. What do you think of some of the claims that people who have been helped by her have made, and some of the controversy that has arisen surrounding the show by skeptics? James Randi, I think, Blasiter as being a charlatan, etc. There's been some magazine articles that have outed her as some sort of charlatan. What do you think about that? I mean, 2 million people on average a week tune into this show. It's very popular. Do you think that there are mediums that have that ability like that?
Rosemary, let's hold that answer for a second. Her book is called Dream Messages from the Afterlife. Her site is visionaryliving.com, where you can order the books and learn about her work. You're here with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know.
GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, there he is, the Para Chris O'Brien with the whatever Gene Steinberg and Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Chris asked her a question in our previous segment. Rosemary?
People love that show, The Long Island Medium, and Teresa does seem to help many people. I don't know her personally, so I've never had any experience that I could use as a personal evaluation, and that's all I would be able to make is a personal evaluation meaningful for me. I mean, James Randi calls all of these people frauds and fakes. Regardless of the evidence that they are able to put forward. The pros and cons of the TV shows are that even if you get a person with legitimate talent, the requirements of TV for entertainment purposes are going to be that, you know, things are going to have to be pumped up and embellished in some ways. And while I can't say that does happen on that show, it happens on most of these paranormal reality shows.
Yeah, well,
That's a hazard. I think people have to take that into consideration. But it doesn't mean that she doesn't have genuine ability. I've never heard of a medium or met a medium that's 100% anyway. That's 100% accurate all of the time. And you know, many of them have who've tried to be perfect. They've really done themselves a lot of harm because they can't be perfect.
It's virtually impossible. Well, why have you avoided, I'm sure, many kind of fishing expeditions by the media to have you in, you know, as the subject of a show? I'm sure you've been approached by Hollywood to do Rosemary Ellen Guiley Presents or have some show based around your work. What do you think about the treatment of these subjects in Hollywood, and how have you responded to requests, you know, to have you as the star of a show?
There are some things that I'm very happy to do for TV, and other things that I'm not. And I've turned down some shows that, you know, want evidence to be embellished or, I mean, let's face it, even fabricated sometimes. I've seen cases of just out-and-out fabrication of evidence. The trend has been very discouraging for participating in a lot of these shows. And I was on one, we did the filming for it, two or three years ago, before it finally made its way to the States. And we'll not name the show by name, but they totally fabricated one of my significant experiences that they interviewed me about and completely ignored all of my research and conclusions and comments on the phenomenon that they wanted to portray, and totally fabricated my experience that they portrayed on television, and I was absolutely furious when I saw it. And it's this sort of thing that makes you just not want to participate in that medium altogether. But that's the unfortunate trend on these shows, and there are just way too many people who are willing to participate because they think it's going to make them famous.
Right. Careful what you wish for. Yes, I can definitely identify with your experiences. I've been in the same position actually now 3 times. They've tried to approach me to do my own show, and I've very quickly found out that they didn't get it. And, you know, in the case of my San Luis Valley research and investigations, I've always thought that the place was the star, not me. I'm just facilitating more knowledge about a wonderful location. And unless you go 180 degrees to the idea that the place is the star and that the people are supplementing the place, then if they don't get that, then they don't get me. So I can appreciate where you're coming with that. The show Ancient Aliens is an example of shows that really educate people about the past, but then they take certain liberties, I think, in how they present information, how they present conclusions. And I think it's a trend, as you pointed out, that's not going in the right direction. Well, let's move in a little different direction here today and continue on with some listener questions. We've got a bunch, and we've asked some already. You've answered some that have yet to be asked. But here's an interesting one. This is kind of a conundrum in my mind. And Tecto Maget, who is a longtime poster at Paracast, at the Paracast forums, asked, how do ghosts and reincarnation coexist if both are real? What are ghosts? Are they spirits that haven't moved on to be reincarnated? Where do you come down with reincarnation, first of all? And then how do ghosts and reincarnation coexist?
I do believe in reincarnation, and I have since a very young age. It's the only explanation that makes sense to me. I can't accept the idea of an eternal afterlife. You know, you're a blip on the cosmic landscape in a physical life, and then you spend eternity in one state. It makes absolutely no sense. Actually, you don't reconcile ghosts and reincarnation, at least not in my view, because ghosts are residues. I've come to the conclusion after hundreds and hundreds of paranormal investigations that what most people call ghosts are simply imprints. There's not an intelligence to them. Not a soul aspect. They're imprints left behind by the living. They're energy patterns. And they're repetitive. They're, for the most part, non-interactive. And they fade away over time. So I think that's what we call a ghost. There are people who get stuck for a while who are earthbound, either by choice or accident. But I think that they eventually find their way into the afterlife. So the evidence for the afterlife comes through people's recollections, through spontaneous recall. Those are the most dramatic cases, especially among children. And speaking of television shows, one of them that is quite interesting is called The Ghost Inside My Child. Very badly named because it has nothing to do with ghosts. It's about children who have very profound and detailed memories of past lives that are then historically authenticated. And that's really the best evidence in support of reincarnation and then to a certain extent past life regression. The hazards there is you're in an altered state and how much of your regression is affected by, you know, things that can creep in and contaminate that. But nonetheless, people do have some very dramatic past life regressions that explain a lot of things to them in the present and even heal a lot of things.
Yeah. Let me ask you a fast question here, which kind of relates to some of this. And that is, you know, we have all these reports of accurate predictions of events and stuff like that. Is there any possibility here of selective memories, which is 99 times out of 100 we get it wrong, but when we get it right, we think about that and forget the wrong guesses?
You mean in terms of precognitive dreams?
Anything that may have a factual basis.
Well, selective memory. Yes, that's actually a question that's been raised by parapsychologists. And especially in light of past life memories, the whole repressed memory sort of thing. I believe Lawrence Lashan examined that in some of his books. And he cited an example where he felt that he had had a past life in a certain period of time. And, you know, then he wondered, you know, had things that he'd seen on television or read even at a young age and forgotten, could that have comprised what he felt was, you know, a connection to a past life? So we can selectively forget and we can selectively remember. And it all gets to be very murky in many cases.
Do you have a follow-up on that, Jane, or do you want me to take it?
No, I'm going to go with that for right now. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we have some more questions, and I think some of them are pretty interesting. What do you think of the recent announcement by the Pope? Now, I haven't read the article or seen the actual quotes, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Pope Francis now, correct?
I believe so, but...
Yeah. Didn't he say something last week, something to the effect of that hell was a construct made up by the Roman Catholic Church? Do you recall seeing anything about that?
I have not seen that. The Pope certainly has been making some interesting statements, and actually I find it very refreshing because I think we really do need to get away from this idea that the afterlife is a static, eternal place of either pleasure or pain.
Or if you're an unbaptized baby, limbo.
Yes.
That was always my favorite is the...
tell you what, right now we're going to be in limbo if we don't do this break. Rosemary Ellen Guiley joining Gene and Chris. You like that, huh? You're in...
The Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.